morning. Are you? And I'm joined in the studio by a guest today, Helga. How do you actually pronounce your surname? I've been saying Gerhardi.
Well, it's a soft G, actually, Gerhardi.
Gerhardi, my apologies to you for that.
It doesn't matter.
Helga, we've been chatting about the book that you've written about your experiences in really post-war Nazi Germany. And we got to the state where you had reached Greifswald and you collapsed on the platform, really malnutrition, just total wiped out from all your journeys. Then, of course, you were reunited with your mother and eventually found your father, most strangely, in Hamburg. Where was he?
Well, in Hamburg, they had started to make a station for refugees to try and find their families. And the idea was that you filled out a card and then if other people sort of queued up for this particular place, you might be able to find out where they are. I went to Hamburg to put my name down that I was looking for the rest of the family, and the queue was so long in front of the Red Cross hut that you had to even sleep at night there on the spot, otherwise you would have to start again at the back. So I walked along this queue and somebody said, well, you have to go to the end. And whilst doing that, I saw an old man sitting on the pavement, and I thought that face looked familiar, but somehow I couldn't make out who it was. And he got hold of my skirt and he kept on saying, I had a daughter, Bunce, just like you. She looked like you too, but they keep on saying, I've lost her. And I suddenly thought, this is my father. And I just sort of looked, and there was a woman next to him, and she said, look, Granddad, she said to him, don't keep on touching the young girl. And then suddenly we recognized one another. It was my father. He queued up just the same as I wanted to do in order to put his name down that he was looking for the rest of the family.
How long since you'd seen each other?
Well, that must have been at least 3 months, because I had already had no news for the last month.
And a very, very traumatic 3 months, obviously. A lot of changes going on. Just moving on a little bit, later on you managed to find a horse whom you called Hitcher. Now, what really surprised me, with a couple of photos in the book, one of you on the horse and one with your mother with it, but you never mention in the book having a camera. Can you remember who took the photos and who had the camera?
Well, it was my father, because although I met him in Hamburg queuing up, he had still got his car, which he had hidden, and he had a few things in there, and one of them, of course, was a camera, and he took those photos on the
I had wondered about that one, because, of course, it was a time of deprivation in many ways, and your family settled in at a defunct radio station where your father managed to reconnect wires to give you free electricity. Well, why not in that situation? And, of course, you walked many miles each day to get food, but what did you do for basic cash?
Well, we had quite a bit of money, because before the before I started on my refugee journey, so to speak, I gradually over the last few weeks got the cash out of my bank account, and apparently my father and mother had done the same thing, so we had still quite a bit of cash which you could use. And once the war was finished and we could establish that we were Swiss, the Swiss embassy of course helped us after that.
Because, of course, this was the irony. You were, in fact, Swiss in the middle of all this and just sort of caught up in it all. And I know later on you had a bicycle and your father traded the horse for this bike, didn't you? And you wanted to find the rest of the family. Helga, you were 4 days from being 21. Did you ever feel this was an unfair way to celebrate your birthday?
Well, actually, on my 21st birthday, I was in a refugee camp. An American one, and I was trying to get permission to enter the American zone, and I agree, yes. I thought back what happened when you're 21, how you have a birthday party and you get given the key of the door to your life now. Well, I didn't need that, because I've always made my own decisions. I had already done that for quite a long time.
Independent spirit, I think, carried you through that time. And I find one thing quite extraordinary, Helga. Travel seems to have been just as difficult in Germany just after the war as it was during it. A lot of suspicion around, and yet you were extraordinarily lucky many, many times. You nearly came a cropper. Did you ever think your luck would run out?
I don't think I thought about it. It was just a matter of survival. You just carried on. I didn't think I was lucky because I've had also by bad turns. I mean, a farmer chucked me out of his farm because
He was probably frightened of the consequences if you were found on his farm, if you think about it.
Well, all I wanted was to use the water because I wanted to mend my bike.
Mm.
And when you mend your bike, of course, you
need water for the puncture.
Yes.
So, as I say, you didn't really think about the luck aspect. It was simply a matter of day-to-day survival. But eventually, you found your sister, Crystal, and then Astra, and your brother, Hans, found all of you. But after the family reunion, never really got on with your sister, Astra, did you? Especially when she was found to be pregnant and became a bit demanding. How did your other sister and brother regard her?
My brother went to school in Hamburg, so he wasn't there on the radio station. He stayed with an aunt of ours. And my other sister, well, she was always very shy. I don't think she liked the way my elder sister was treated because my mother sort of felt we ought to look after her better because she was expecting this baby. But she wasn't as outspoken as I was.
That there was a shortage of paper and pen. So what did you use as a diary, and did you manage to write in it regularly?
No, I didn't write regularly, and the diary I started in 1938. I was 14 when it was given to me, and it was quite a thick book with a cloth cover. It even had a lock on it, so you could lock it. It was sort of a special diary, and that's the only one I ever used. I haven't got another one. I didn't write regularly on it because when, in the very sharp winter, when we went across the Hough, which was frozen, I mean, you couldn't take your gloves off.
Of course not. Now, presumably you've had to refer back to it for writing this book, or do you not need that? Is it still very clear in your head, the events?
I think the happenings are very clear, but some of the names are forgotten after all this time, and I referred then to my diary. And I must admit that one or two have changed in my diary. The ones that got killed and died, I don't think it matters to mention those again, but there were one or two rather famous people, and I felt that wouldn't be fair to...
Absolutely, and so you changed the names. Now, I know this was a very difficult time for you, Helga. Post-war Germany, still really Nazi Germany in many respects. Was it easier when the family all moved back to Switzerland?
Well, that's actually the part of my second book, but let's just say it wasn't, because we had nothing. We just only arrived with a few belongings, and we had to start from scratch, and particularly my parents felt it very badly, and I'm afraid they didn't live very long after that.
No, your father died quite soon after you moved back to Switzerland.
Well, my mother first, actually.
Oh, was it? I didn't realise that.
Yes, she was only 50.
Yes, the war had a lot to answer for in this respect. Now, I know the book Helga covers your life, as I say, up to the time you returned to Switzerland. But now you're a grandmother living in Berkshire. There's a lot more to tell. You're not a grandmother.
I am a grandmother, but I live in Buckinghamshire.
Oh, well, I only moved you a county or two.
Yes.
Do you know, I was always bad at geography at school, and I think that has just been shown up, Buckinghamshire. But as I was saying, you're just saying you are actually writing another book. How far are you into it?
Well, to be quite honest, I had already written much more. The book was twice as thick as it is now, and I had to shorten it, so I just stopped it on the point when I left Germany to go to Switzerland. So part of the next book is already written up to the moment when I got married, and I've started to get quite a bit of fan mail. People keep on saying that, how did you get to England? You left Germany, but what happened then?
Well, that was the question I was going to ask you, but I won't, because obviously if it's in the next book, what we can do is have you in again and chat about that, because I was fascinated. I mean, there you were. You were Swiss parentage. You were living in Nazi Germany, then went back to Switzerland, and now you're living in Buckinghamshire. And, you know, there's quite a few leaps in between there, a few gaps to be filled, and I think it's well worth writing another story. So basically, the second one is really down on paper at the moment.
To a certain extent, and I've cut also out quite a bit in the first part. So in order to make the second book going, I would bring some of the things in which I have left out in the first part, and then finish off with the second part, what happened until I came to England, and maybe a little bit further than that.
Well, it's certainly been an eventful life, Helga. Perhaps it was all so that you could write the books about it. Who knows? Now, finally, your book is called Helga. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? It's in the shops in paperback now. Who's the publisher and how much does it cost?
It costs £6.99 and the publisher is Verona.
Excellent. My guest today has been Helga Gerhardy. I get it right this time, talking about her experiences as a refugee in post-war Germany, trying to reunite her family. As I say, the book is called Helga. It's published by Verona in paperback at £6.99, available at your local bookstore. Now, really, after that interview, I had a great deal of thought about what to play, and I thought there's only one thing. Monsieur, dear God.
Dear God. Is there somebody?